League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is First and Ten.
49!
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Good morning and welcome in. It is First and Ten. We've got Carla here. I'm David Gow and Ron Culver behind the glass. Good morning, everybody.
Ron, are we still allowed to call you Charger Ron after Monday night?
Why you got to bring that up?
What stays I haven't seen you in a while.
What happens in Mexico stays in Mexico. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, fair.
That was a good game, actually, for most of the game.
It was a
Carter's
great
in
game.
It down to the finals.
No, four interceptions four does not make a good game.
Yikes.
Never have I seen a quarterback who has the variance of Phillip Rivers. 1 week, unbelievable. 1 week, disaster.
I know, but do we credit the four interceptions to just the team as a whole, or are they really all on him?
No, they're all on him.
Okay.
He for the first time I've ever watched him play, is looking more and more like Eli Manning every day.
He's imploding.
Well, he put some balls in places where he should not have thrown them, and he almost seems careless at times, just heaving it in a direction. And that is surprising for a veteran quarterback, a guy who's been around so long and had so much success.
And they had a chance against the Chiefs. The Chiefs, you know, Patrick Mahomes is still trying to feel himself back, definitely, from this knee injury. And they had that chance, and that interception in the end zone was a killer.
No, it's the second week in a row. I mean, if you go back to the previous week, he couldn't do anything. He had eight opportunities to complete one pass, and he couldn't do it.
So is he going to be back with the Chargers, or are they moving on?
If they don't make a quarterback their top priority in this year's draft, I might be moving on.
I mean, it's a key time. They're going to be moving into a stadium with the Rams in 2020. They need to be able to fill it, unlike filling their soccer stadium. They've got to be able to fill this. You've got to be able to bring in the fans. And you've got Melvin Ingram, who's just having a season. Gosh, he's so fun to watch.
Well,
but
they got to
move it.
One team that will fill their stadium are the Houston Texans tonight. We're broadcasting live from here in Houston. And
could be the biggest game of the week.
Well, it is. It's a big game. It'll be the Colts and the Texans, and it's a division rivalry. Now,
Number one. Really matters.
When we come back, we're going to hear from Jamie Roots. He's president of the Houston Texans, and we'll ask him about tonight's big game and all he's doing to prepare for Thursday night football here in Houston.
This is First and Ten on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, First and Ten. And joining us now here on SB Nation Radio is president of the Houston Texans, Jamie Roots. Jamie, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, David, how you doing? And Carla, good morning.
Morning, Jamie.
We're doing great, and of course, we think you're doing great because you are now the center of the universe for the NFL tonight's big Thursday night game.
Spotlight's on you. Here we go.
It kind of feels like it. It's a pretty big night for us.
And you're doing things to get the fans in the stadium at 7. Talk to us about the game experience tonight.
Oh, it's going to be great. This is our salute to service game. It's our 17th annual. In fact, you know, the tradition that exists in the league started right here in Houston, Texas. So we're adding to the excitement tonight with a pregame light show with our friends at Bud Light. Of course, that makes sense. And all fans have to do is download the Texans app. It'll coach you through it. And so during our player introductions, the fans will be able to participate because the light light from their phone will be synced to the music, and it's really going to be spectacular. But you got to get in your seats early, 6:45, 6:50 at the latest, to make sure that you can be a part of it.
Well, and how great for the team then. Then everyone will be there early, seated, and ready to cheer the team on from game one, step one.
Yeah. Absolutely. We have the best fans in the National Football League. They give us tremendous home field advantage. Our players feel it. And, you know, it doesn't get any bigger than tonight, not only because it's the next game on the schedule, but it's a battle for first place.
We're talking to the president of the Houston Texans, Jamie Roots. Okay, yes, a tough week last week, obviously the tough loss, a short week of prep for a big game. How do you think the Texans can bounce back?
Well, I tell you, I think that's really good. I mean, because you ended that game and you really wanted to go out and get it done again and prove that we're better than what we showed on last Sunday. So every game's a different story. And so tonight's story, we expect to end really well for the Houston Texans. Got a very talented team. We're positioned well. Just got to go out and execute.
Jamie, you're so right. And Overreaction Monday only lasted 3 days for the Texans, so that's good. They have a chance to right the ship. And I think the way I'm hearing from you, it sounds like the mood in the building is good and they are ready to go to battle.
Absolutely. I mean, every game in this league means so much. It's kind of like a 16-week tournament. And so tonight, it doesn't get any bigger than tonight.
Well, Jamie, you are one of the premier presidents of in all of the NFL with franchises. What is one aspect of the way that a football organization is run that might surprise people who aren't on the inside like you are?
Well, I tell you, people don't understand the depth to which we care about the relationship that we have with our fans, that we have with our community. And when we think about what we're here to do, what's our purpose, it's just three things. Win championships, of course, but also to create memorable experiences, things that people take with them for a lifetime, no matter how they're involved with our team. And number three, do great things for Houston, whether that's the experience we provide, the national television exposure tonight that Houston will get, the charitable endeavors, our Salute to Service Week, which actually started out at Ellington Airport with thousands of military families, a concert from Josh Abbott Band, food and activities for the kids, just an opportunity for us to say thank you for all their tremendous service and the sacrifice. And then tonight's our Salute to Service game, again, a chance for 71,000 of our closest friends to say thank you to our men and women in uniform.
We're talking to Jamie Roots, president of the Houston Texans. Okay, Jamie, I've heard you talk about how the at-home viewing experience has improved over the years. I mean, we see beautiful, pristine images on our screens. You get to relax in your couch. There's food and beverage all around. And that you really think a lot about how to make the in-game, the in-stadium experience rich enough, engaging enough that people will come out, go out of their way to attend. How has it evolved, and what are you guys doing to make NRG a special place for the fans?
Well, David, that's a great point because, I remember early on in the development of the franchise, I saw an advertisement for, you know, hey, come to the games. And it was all about action photos of the game. And I said, guys, it's not about watching the game. You can do that for free at home. Don't tell anyone, but you can do it for free at home. What's different? What's different about coming out here? And I tell you, it starts with tailgating. We have the best tailgating atmosphere in the National Football League, bar none. And then it's the in-game experience, the rituals, the traditions. We've got to do a great job on the concession side to make sure you got fairly priced food. It's got to be high quality. The service has got to be great. And there's nothing like a live sporting event, standing up 71,000, shoulder to shoulder, demonstrating to the other team that you're not playing 53 today. You're playing 71,000 from Houston, Texas, that are Texans. We are Texans. That's a really special deal. You can't get that from your couch.
And the Colts will face that tonight at NRG Stadium. So one other observation, just seeing this season unfold, is there have been some teams, and this is always the case every year, there have been teams that have had players who have been off the grid, misbehaving, suspended, all kinds of issues. I mean,
i.e. the Oakland Raiders.
Well, yeah. Carla's beloved example. Oakland Raiders. Antonio Brown was a... and they've had Vontaze Burfict is gone. And then you go around the league, and Myles Garrett's dealing with what he's dealing with, and Ezekiel Elliott has often captured headlines for the Cowboys. The Texans team, the roster, and certainly the star players seem very pristine. They surely have represented the franchise well. How does that make your job easier? You're the head of marketing this whole big beast, and you've got some pretty good people to put up on the poster.
Well, first of all, I'll tell you broadly, the National Football League, I subscribe to a, it's called the 1% jerk factor theory. Yeah. Any population, 1% is going to be a jerk, right?
Yep.
And on game day, we have it, and nobody self-selects coming into the stadium. We've got to go out and find them. And then as it relates to their players, there are just some people in every population that things are going to happen. Unfortunately, those are the people that get the most attention. But, I mean, almost all of our players are outstanding citizens, and I'm talking across the NFL, but particularly with the Houston Texans, Bob McNair set the tone very early, and the mentality remains today with Cal. In fact, the first time we met with our players, he said, it's really simple around here. Bob did. He said, I'll never do anything to embarrass you, and I expect that none of you will ever do anything to embarrass me. And that really, really kind of permeates the walls of NRG Stadium, that we're about being tough, smart, dependable football players, being a role model for your teammate, and being a pillar of the community. Those are the things that we talk about, that we reinforce, and that our players actually really buy into. They think that's important as well.
Well, and Jamie, speaking of just being a role model and, you know, the pillar of the community, you've got Deshaun Watson under center, possibly one of the best moves made in the history of the Texans organization. And, you know, since the beginning, I've been in search of a franchise quarterback. Do you finally feel like here in Houston, Deshaun is your guy, not only on the field, but off the field?
Yes.
Yeah. He's pretty special.
No, I mean, it's as easy as that. I mean, you look at his background, his story.
Oh, his story is incredible.
Yeah, the things he's done at Clemson and things he did from day one here before he even proved himself on the NFL stage to demonstrate that I was given a lot. You know, I was helped along the way, and I'm going to help others now that I'm in a privileged position. But when he gets under center, I mean, the guy is just has that it factor.
Yes.
He's a natural leader. We're never out of a game because of Deshaun. We're like, at any point in time, he can turn it on and elevate a team, put the team on his shoulders, and guys really react to that. It elevates, you know, somebody's really special when they're not only talented themselves, but them as players elevate everyone around them, and that's what Deshaun does.
Well, best of luck tonight. A great matchup, the battle for first place in the division. Jamie Roots, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you guys. Take care, David. See you, Carla.
Keep up the good work, Jamie. Thank you.
You're listening to First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Okay, it's great to visit with Jamie Roots. He sure does feel confident that they've got their franchise quarterback in Deshaun Watson, and who could argue otherwise?
Oh, there's absolutely no way. You know who could argue that they didn't do the right thing? Da Bears. Passed up on Patrick Mahomes, passed up on Deshaun Watson, and worse yet, traded up. Mm. Up. For Mitchell Trubisky.
It is amazing what a decision like that can do to a franchise, how long it can set them back, because they really won't be in a position to get that franchise quarterback. I mean, no, their record's not good, but they're not going to be in the top five.
No.
They're gonna have to, they would have to trade up yet again and give up more draft capital if Trubisky's not the answer.
I think what Jamie Roots pointed out as president of the Houston Texans, it's a luxury to emphatically be able to say yes. We have our franchise, without a shadow of a doubt.
Well, and they
can.
Pretty great. Of course, we're saying this after Watson came off perhaps the worst game of
his
career.
It was the worst game.
A devastating loss to the Ravens, and the Ravens have a very tough defense.
Yeah, they do.
Only knock I could say about Deshaun Watson at this moment, and it cuts two ways, but sometimes it seems that he tries to do too much. He doesn't take a broken play and just throw it away. He'll wiggle, he'll wonder, he'll try to get extra time, and that, of course, led to a fumble. It could lead to injuries. It leads to some sacks that he doesn't always need to take. You look at
six of them last week.
Right.
Which is not totally all on him. And I think that this is the point that you're bringing up is a very good one. There are times when I'm just cringing, going, throw, 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 throw. But this is what makes him special, is that he sees my O-line is not doing it for me today, so I'm going to have to do it with my feet.
Well, and so, sometimes the Houdini act works, right? He goes out and throws a touchdown pass. So that's the rub. I mean, when he does it well, it's great. Obviously, when it leads to a fumble, it's a disaster. But I do think as he matures as a quarterback, there's still that last step here where he can, at some point, decide to just throw it away and play for the next play instead of making every individual play into something grand.
Right. Very true. Very true. And he is known as the bounce back king. You know, he has historically, in his short NFL career, bounced back very well after a disastrous game. And last week, the 41-7 debacle in Baltimore was his worst game.
Yep.
He needs a bounce back. And I have no doubt that he will. He's 18 of 29, 169 yards, 63.7 passer rating. Yikes.
Well, and it's a big matchup against the Colts. Of course, they're both atop that division. Colts won the earlier game in the season.
This is important.
Well, if the Colts win today, they'll have both a game lead in the standings and the tiebreaker to their advantage.
Right.
So it would pretty much put the Colts in the driver's seat to win that division. And then the Texans are going to have to back in some other way as a wild card, and that will be tough to do.
Yeah, no, it absolutely will. And you know what's crazy is that the last 11 regular season games between the Colts and the Texans, all of them decided by 10 points or less. The loss earlier this season in Indianapolis was a 30-23 win by Indy. So they play each other very tight. They're very similar teams. I do think that the Colts appear to be a better coach team. I'd like to see that myth debunked.
Well, Frank Reich is 3-1 against Bill O'Brien, and it will be a great matchup. Thursday night football tonight. All right, some of the other games coming up this week that I'm excited about. Obviously, there's a great matchup between the Cowboys and the Patriots.
Oh, my goodness. I say that's the other great game of the week.
Well, I think it is. I'm going to say something about those Packers and 49ers. That matchup is going to be a great one. But the Cowboys-Patriots is intriguing in so many different ways. One of the headlines, of course, is you have the venerable old quarterback, the greatest of all time, in Tom Brady, and it wasn't that long ago Jerry Jones was comparing Dak to Brady. Not to say that he says Dak Prescott's ever going to be Tom Brady. It's sort of presumptuous to say anybody could be Tom Brady, but that he has some of that composure. He has that poise in the pocket, and if he develops, remember, Tom Brady wasn't always a game maker. He was a game manager for a long time. He has evolved into greatness. But there were many years at the beginning when he first replaced Drew Bledsoe that his role really was just to manage the game and the Patriots would win with a running game and defense. Cowboys, of course, a running game first, always try to, working on the defense. And Dak Prescott really was a game manager, certainly his rookie year, and now hopefully for the Cowboys is evolving into a guy who can be a difference maker and win some games.
Oh, it's more than hopefully. He is second in the NFL in total QBR. Number two. How about that? You know I'm on the Dak train.
I know you've been more on the Dak love than I have. But I'll tell you. That might have been his best game last week. He was exceptional against Detroit. He had extraordinary time. The line bought him a lot of time, and the Lions rush was not there.
Did.
But with that time, he was able to carve up the Lions defense and be very productive.
But I think it's more than last week, because through his passing yards through 10 games this season is the most ever in Cowboys history. That's impressive. And you look at the last two games, Zeke's had 45, 47 yards rushing. He's been a non-factor. The guy that drove the Brinks truck out of Cabo is a non-factor. And Dak, who's waiting to be paid, still playing on his rookie deal, you know, I hope that he continues on this pace, and I love the poise in which he has handled these contract talks, because that's all the media wants to talk about. I hope he does set the market for quarterbacks. I think he deserves it from an on-the-field, off-the-field perspective, and the intangibles of being a leader not only on the field, which he is clearly as a signal caller, but in the locker room. Both sides get him. His parents are from both sides of the tracks. He relates to everybody, and he doesn't care about the contract situation. I mean, obviously, he deeply does care about it, but he doesn't bring that into the actual game of football, which is really, really great. I do think this game is big because it's a litmus test for the Cowboys. Their losses have been to Minnesota, New Orleans, Green Bay. Yikes. So those are winning franchises. You got to win those games.
Well, and clearly, and you saw it with Minnesota and Detroit, frankly, they stacked the box to try to stop Ezekiel Elliott. They were effective in doing so. Prescott has to make the defense pay when they overcompensate for the run, and he did certainly last week against the Lions. The one catch on the Cowboys offense, and I don't really know how to explain it, is they have been slow out of the gate. Very, very poor in the first quarter. And that was even true against the Lions when the offense obviously was pretty productive. They're slow out of the gate, so they'll certainly be focused on that and trying to get some kind of traction early, which is so vital to do in Foxborough against the Patriots. Goodness.
Absolutely, because the Patriots, as we see, you know, Tom Brady, you would have thought they had a loss last week the way that he entered that press conference, you know, just being really frustrated with the offense. But their defense has been able to carry them, allowing 10.8 points a game. However, the passing defense is out of this world, not as good as stopping the run. So maybe this is a chance for Zeke to get some more yards under his belt and the game plan to change a little bit for the Cowboys. But look at Bill Belichick this week. You know, he is a man of few words, if any. And when asked about Dak Prescott, he is often very complimentary, even about facing the Cincinnati Bengals. They're a good coach team. They're you know, always says the same thing. But he was effusive about Dak, and he used words. He's very accurate. His poise in the pocket is amazing. He's completely disciplined. He is super impressive. Those are the quote, super impressive. And I think the media, everyone was shocked at how long that answer was. And it felt genuine and it felt real. So he's getting ready to face a very good quarterback.
Well, yes, and he highlighted one area where I think Dak has really improved year over year, which is accuracy.
Yes.
He did
yes.
struggle with accuracy issues last year, and he's gotten much more accurate, particularly on some deep throws and those deep seam routes. So that's optimistic for the Cowboys. I think the Patriots are going to try to run on that Cowboys defense, because nothing would soothe the wounds of the Patriots offense more than to establish a running game. Sonny Michel has not been worthy of a first-round pick. But if they could run the ball and the Cowboys defense has shown vulnerability to the run, that could set a tone and enable Brady to do some other things. Patriots are beat up at wide receiver after basically restocking their wide receiver roster. Antonio Brown, of course, departed. But they've got, well, Sanu is there, but he's injured. Dorsett did not practice this week.
Isaiah Wynn's coming back, their left tackle.
And they need him.
They need him. Woo, boy.
So, you know, when Tom Brady complains that the offense isn't productive, one thing I think it does do is everybody on that offensive roster is going to look in the mirror and say, is he talking about me? Is there something that I need to do to right the ship for Tom Brady? And
he does command that respect. Give him that. You know, what's interesting is that, yes, he is frustrated. He's been openly frustrated to the media. But the Patriots are guaranteed they're already going to finish above 500 for the 19th consecutive season.
Amazing.
And that was his first year as a starter. So every year that he has been the starter, and that's impressive. I mean, even though you think 500, they've won the Super Bowl six times, it's hard to keep that continuity going. That says a lot about Belichick. It says a lot about Brady.
Well, Patriots probably on their way to the number one seed in the AFC. Mm-hmm. Ravens have something to say about that.
Of course, and Ravens have, so far, one game up on New England.
Yeah, Pats are 9-1. Ravens are 8-2. But, of course, the Ravens beat the Patriots. So if they were to finish, the tiebreaker would go to the Ravens. So we shall see. That will be a fun race to watch down the stretch. It would seem that those are the two teams at the top of that league. I'll tell you what, the love going to Lamar Jackson right now is pretty pronounced. He's now, quote,
his name might be Jesus Jackson. He's getting so much love, rightfully so.
The MVP of the week, at least.
Incredible. Yes, MVP of the week. That's right. But he's been in the conversation all year long.
No, he has.
But I mean, he's now the front runner, the clear front runner.
Yeah, but it is funny to cycle through the names because some of it is week to week. There's an anointing that happens. And, of course, now people are talking about, is Dak Prescott on that short list?
Oh, yeah, he's
a couple
there.
Weeks ago, it was, no, it must be Deshaun Watson. Earlier in the season, of course, before the injuries, it was Patrick Mahomes. There was even a window with Christian McCaffrey and Michael Thomas and maybe even...
Please don't say Kyle Allen.
Oh, no, I would have gone with
Daniel
Gardner Minshew, of course,
Danny
until he
Dunn.
Got benched. Yeah,
he was there for a while, too, probably.
Okay, Kyle Allen. He was going to replace Cam Newton. He had a brilliant first four games.
Until it wasn't brilliant.
Oh.
Wow, he is. But you know what? This is not surprising to me for two reasons. Number one, no offense, he's Kyle Allen. He couldn't get the starting job at A&M. He couldn't keep the job at U of H here in Houston. And so he goes, and it's a fresh look. I mean, teams have never seen Kyle Allen before.
Right.
But it only takes a couple weeks to get a book on somebody. And now they've got him. And the guy, wow. I mean, you look at his first four games as a starter. His TD to interception ratio, 7 touchdowns, zero interceptions.
Fantastic.
He's the franchise. They're looking like geniuses in Carolina. The last four games, 3 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Ooh, and a 29-3 beat down by the Atlanta Falcons last week.
I know, but he's still a guy who's only had about 8 starts. So
yes. No, I don't think he's the answer. No. Do you?
No, I'm not going to say that. Okay. When we return, we'll shift our gears to college football. We'll look at whether the CFP rankings have it right and what it means in Alabama that Tua is now injured. Next up on SB Nation Radio.
This is First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, First and 10, the show that is all things football. And we have gone through some of the big games in the NFL coming up this weekend. Let's shift our gears for a moment to college football.
Ooh, this is the tis the season. I love this season.
It is an intriguing window now.
It's always been fun.
Well, the CFP rankings are out, and I guess there were no major surprises. The teams that I look at in the top four, I mean, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia from 1 to 4, hard to argue against them. I certainly see why each one of them is there, and they all have a story to tell. Alabama at 5, I feel like that's a paper tiger. I feel like that's got to fall. I mean, the Tua is injured now, and without that marquee attraction, and frankly, the fact that Alabama hasn't played anybody, they have no quality wins.
Oh, but there's one coming up this weekend, Western Carolina.
Well, there you go.
Get your popcorn, pull up your seat. Here we go.
And their quarterback, their backup quarterback, Mac Jones.
Return of the Mac. Here he comes.
I mean, he's going to be just fine this weekend. He's going to look good.
Yes, he will. He will. But they do have number 12 Alabama coming up the week after Western Carolina.
You mean Auburn.
I'm sorry. Yep. Alabama. Yeah, yes, so
that,
Auburn.
They need that quality win badly. I suppose if they were to win out here, and, of course, someone above them is going to lose almost by definition.
Right, because they're playing each other.
Yeah, there's a real shot that Alabama sneaks back into the Final Four. Now, when you've got LSU at 1 and Georgia at 4, and presumably they're going to play in the SEC championship game, if Georgia were to beat LSU in the SEC championship game, well, then both LSU and Georgia have a one-loss season and a quality loss for LSU in that case. And LSU has the victory over Alabama, it would be inappropriate to bump LSU and put Alabama in there. So I guess the way that Alabama doesn't sneak in, even if they went out, is that if Georgia beats LSU in a close game.
Yeah, do you see a scenario where the CFP can really leave out an undefeated Alabama team? Like really thinking about it.
What, you mean if they went out?
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be a one-loss team who lost a quality loss against LSU, and really, which was an epic game.
It was a great game.
Great, great game. I like to see them leave them out. Alabama with Mac Jones doesn't really intrigue me. Their defense hasn't been the same star power.
It's young. It's beat up. It is a different team. It's a very different team.
Listen, if Oregon wins out and they are the Pac-12 champion, I would love to see them sneak in there. Look, if LSU beats Georgia and Georgia falls, they're now a two-loss team, and Oregon wins out and they're a one-loss team, Pac-12, how great would it be to see Justin Herbert on that stage competing against the likes of Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow? I mean, you've really got some star power in the quarterback realm.
Boy, you really hope to see
and Justin
like
Fields. Don't leave him out. Ohio State, presumably, if they went out.
Exactly.
Look at that lineup of four quarterbacks. It's what you would have had with the Tua, but Tua is not part of this. We're now talking Mac Jones.
Well, I even think before Tua's hip injury this past weekend, which was devastating, that was really, really sad for that kid. I don't think even with the ankle situation, he didn't look fantastic in that game with LSU.
Right.
That ankle surgery is something that takes somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 6 months to recover. He had 20 days. That's less than 3 weeks. I don't know that we would have even seen the same Tua who could do everything he can. But now, obviously, we're not going to see him for the rest of the season. I do think with Oregon, you bring up a great point. And I think given all the – obviously with only four spots in the college football playoff, most likely one of the Power Five conferences will be left out. Usually it's the Pac-12. I've got to say I feel like the way that the committee is ranking things, it looks like the Big 12 is going to be the odd conference looking in. Because you look at Oregon, one loss. That one loss came in week one versus Auburn. That's a – if you can have a quality loss
– yeah.
That's a quality loss. And it was very early on, and they've done nothing but take care of business since then. Where I think you look at Utah, who's also a one-loss team in the Pac-12, their loss was to USC. While USC is doing okay, they are up and down. It's not the same type of loss that an Auburn would bring.
Well, the Big 12, I guess you'd have to envision Oklahoma winning out or Baylor winning out. And they would come in with one loss, and a Big 12 champion with one loss would have a credible claim versus an Oregon Pac-12 champion with one loss. But yes, as it's ranked now, Pac-12 looks like they would get in at the expense of the Big 12.
And the Big 10 is looking good. They've got a big matchup this week in Ohio State, Penn State. Everybody's talking about it. Can't stop talking about it. Wow, wow. What do you see happening there?
Well, if Penn State pulls off that win, then everything's wide open. I mean, Penn State currently ranked number 8. And, yeah, I guess as a one-loss team with a victory over Ohio State, Penn State would have an opportunity to sneak into the mix.
And it might save the quarterback for Penn State's life. You know, after the Minnesota loss, you know, they lost to the Gophers at home. He got death threats, the Penn State quarterback.
Ooh, it's an unforgiving world.
It would behoove him to somehow take down Ohio State. I don't know. I think it's going to be really tough because Chase Young is back from his suspension. They are one of the most complete teams. I've got to put LSU right up there with them.
No, but Ohio State has much more talent on the field than Penn State this weekend.
They do.
So expect Ohio State to win that one. Interestingly, going back to Tua's injury, remember at the beginning of the season, the mantra in the NFL was tank for Tua, and certainly the Dolphins were poised to do so. Now it looks like the Bengals will have the number one pick overall. They stand 0-10. They are winless on the season.
Oh, my gosh. You know, they've done that before. They've had an 0-10 start once before. So at least Zach Taylor has a little bit of company. You might have to go back a bit to get it, but
they know how to do it. They've done it before.
They've been
down this road. But with Tua's injury, with a season that hasn't been over the top grand, I mean, part of it is they pull them at halftime because they're always so far ahead. I don't know that Tua is the number one pick anymore. When you think about, Chase Young may be the most talented player in the draft,
goodness.
The surest bet, but it will likely be a quarterback who goes number one overall. And that list includes Tua, to be sure. Joe Burrow, though, now entering the conversation, and, of course, Justin Herbert.
And don't forget Jalen Hurts out of Oklahoma.
So I think Jalen Hurts is an intriguing thing. I think that his stock has been helped a little bit by the way that Lamar Jackson has excelled to the top of the heap. Because people
sort of put them
in the same body type. Perhaps a running quarterback who also throws was the narrative coming out of college. That's Jalen Hurts. But Hurts is developing his passing. I don't think Jalen Hurts throws the ball as well as Kyler Murray. The Kyler Murray's touch on deep throws coming out of college was exceptional, and that really turned a lot of people's heads.
And give a lot to Kyler's baseball background for that. Same with Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
They have, you know, they're used to throwing the ball crossbody, you know, on the run, this kind of thing. I think baseball really helps. In fact, I remember at the beginning of the season, this is probably not a good advertisement, but Eli Manning was working with a baseball trainer, a guy that trains Major League Baseball players, because so much of the technique is key for a quarterback. Obviously, Eli didn't get enough training because he was benched immediately for number 6 overall, Daniel Jones. But I think there's something to be said for that. And remember, Kyler Murray was drafted by the Oakland A's in the first round and chose to go to the NFL.
Well, you point out something that's sort of intriguing because it does seem like the way that quarterbacks are taught to throw now and the arm angle is different than it was 10, 15 years ago. The way everyone was taught before was consistency, 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 throw it the same motion, the same way, and it's more over the top. Now it's much more of a side throw.
Yeah, there's a lot of side
and,
throws.
And varying angles, frankly.
On the run, too. And yeah,
all kinds of degrees of freedom. It is exciting. It's fun to watch, and it enables different kinds of throws. I mean, what we're seeing from Patrick Mahomes is somewhat historic that way.
Yes.
But going back to Jalen Hurts, I really do. I'll just say this. I think with Lamar Jackson, you know, it's a copycat league. With his doing so well and maybe being the MVP this year, there are going to be teams that are looking, quote, for the next Lamar Jackson.
Of course.
And they're going to shoehorn in Jalen Hurts to that image, and someone's going to take him. He's a guy who, remember, was benched at Alabama and not considered a great NFL draft prospect. I am quite confident that now Jalen Hurts will be a first-round pick, not number one overall, but another product of Lincoln Riley and another guy who Riley has really prepped for the pros.
Well, you know, you bring up that Jalen Hurts was benched at Alabama, and he was. And Tua came in. He was benched in the national championship game.
Yep.
But let's also remember that Jalen Hurts was the guy that changed Alabama's quarterback role to what it is now. They always had game managers, and that's all that they really needed. And then they got Jalen Hurts from Channelview, Texas. His dad was his football coach in high school. And he all of a sudden became, oh my gosh, now opponents are like, geez, now we have to game plan for a mobile quarterback. They've never had that at Alabama. So he set the stage and did, I mean, obviously won a national championship with them, maybe even two. You know, he really changed what that role was at Alabama and needed to be changed, because you're right. That's where the professional game is going. You look at how many mobile quarterbacks are the starters, how many black quarterbacks. They are changing the game. Mm. It's really exciting. Like, I love this trend. I think it's great. No longer the traditional pocket passer. And maybe that's, which is Tom Brady, but he has fantastic weapons and incredible schemes around him, so that kind of hides his lack of mobility a little bit.
And he's always had a sixth sense, Brady has, to maneuver in the pocket to buy him a little time.
Incredible.
No, not the outright runner. In fact, when you see him run now, it's not a pretty picture.
No, it's cement in the shoes.
Yeah, he is just laboring along when he moves around.
He is over 40, so we'll give him that. But, yeah.
But he's pliable. He's been going to his trainer, Guerrero.
Okay, question for you about college football. We are broadcasting from Houston, Texas. Talk about the Longhorns.
Ooh,
the
University of so Texas disappointing. Longhorns. When Tom Herman arrived.
That's the name. That's the word. Disappointing.
It really has been a tough season for the Longhorns, particularly when you think about how they ended their season last year. The big victory in the Sugar Bowl.
Over Georgia. Yeah, it was
over
huge.
Georgia. And Sam, huge. First, Georgia. Big SEC powerhouse. Oh. And there went this Big 12 team, upstart Texas in that regard. And Sam Ellinger was outstanding.
He was outstanding.
And coming in, everybody thought with Ellinger and Herman and the recruiting classes they were getting, Texas was poised to ascend to the top of the Big 12.
They were back-to-back number three recruiting classes. This is Tom Herman's. He's in his third season. When you have recruiting classes like that and you are getting paid $5.7 million a year and you are sitting at 6-4, after you just lost to Iowa State and allowed them to be 6-4, they're now, they started the season, preseason number 10. Now they're unranked in the college football poll. 23-14 after three seasons with Tom Herman. And I really feel like his reaction after the loss to Iowa State, where he was very defensive about his pass calling in the last drive, I didn't love that, because I thought, take some accountability, dude. You're the play caller. Hmm. You're not giving it to your OC. You lost because of that last drive. Well, a lot of reasons. Your defense is terrible as well. He didn't take responsibility for it. And to me, you're going to lose your locker room because you're putting it on the kids. You're putting it on your players at that point. And the play calling was bad. And he said, when he came to Texas, he said, and I am a big Tom Herman fan. I just don't love what's happening right now in Austin. He said, we're going to win with defense. Well, let me tell you what your defense looks like, Tom Herman. You're 111th in total defense and 126th in passing defense. Where is this identity?
Their defense has been porous, a disaster, and not what they need in Texas. I think they're going to give him one more year.
I do too.
I know there are whispers that
this is the time Charlie Strong was gone.
Yeah, but they'll give him one more year. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap it up. You're listening to First and 10 here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. First and 10, the show all things football. And the one big matchup in the NFL this weekend we really didn't get to touch on, but just have a minute to do so.
Oh, you're excited about this.
Well, I am. The 49ers and the Packers, that's a marquee matchup. I look forward to seeing Aaron Rodgers face what is probably the best defense in the NFL. Certainly the best defensive front with the 49ers.
They've had a tough couple weeks, the Niners defense. And when you had Jimmy Garoppolo having to step up last week, that was good for him. Because there was a horrific loss to Seattle. I mean, he had a 52% completion percentage. Yeek. And three turnovers. But made up for it. Had a great bounce back game. But you look at how tight this NFC race is. So you've got the Niners with a 9-1 record.
Yep.
Right behind them at 8-2 are Green Bay, who they're facing this weekend, New Orleans, and Seattle. That is heady. Woo!
Those are four really good teams. NFC stacked.
Really
There's
good
some depth
teams.
There this year. And then, of course, the Cowboys would love to claim that they are head of the NFC East, but I think they're definitely a tier into those other four teams. It will be a great matchup. I look forward to,
who do you have in this
one? I just think in the end, Aaron Rodgers is so light years ahead of Jimmy G at this moment in time.
Yeah.
And I would not bet against Aaron Rodgers on this stage in that game.
No, you're right. And you know what's so interesting? Jimmy G is a 7-year veteran. I had no idea.
It doesn't seem like he's been around that long. Of course, he sat behind Brady for years in New England.
He's only had 20 starts.
Amazing. Then he had the injury, had the ACL. Right. He's been out. So, yes, he's still a developing quarterback.
He is, and he has definitely struggled with ball security this season.
Mm-hmm.
10 interceptions and 4 fumbles for loss. Peak. But you know what? It's going to be a great game. And honestly, the defense really needs to step up for Jimmy G. But look at San Francisco's remaining schedule. Green Bay, then they've got Baltimore, then they've got New Orleans. Yikes!
There's some losses coming.
I think I'd rather have Green Bay's schedule. They're going to face, obviously, the Niners. Then they got the Giants, the Redskins, and Da Bears.
That sounds like Alabama's college schedule. That's a cupcake.
It's looking a lot better for Green Bay. So,
all right, well, get ready for Thursday night football tonight. It is a big matchup in the division. Texans and Colts. I'll let you make your final pick for the game tonight.
Okay, I'm taking Texans by 3.
Texans at home. I do think they've got it this time. It will be.
And it's salute to service. There's all kinds of good juju in the building. I'm going Texans.
A bounce back game for Deshaun Watson. All right, you heard it here on 1st and 10.
No. You give yours.
Oh, I'm going Texans too at home. Yes. Be sure to listen to us, The Boss and the Gloss, Monday night, 7 to 9 Central, here on SB Nation Radio.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.